music from Katie Jagier. The song is called The Lion. We're heard to from John Michael Talbot, Come Home, Little Children. 9 minutes after the hour, it is a Monday morning, and joining us today, well, he'll be with us tomorrow, too, to talk science with us, but today Dr. Don joins us for a conversation about Christian media. Now, both Don and I attended a couple of weeks ago the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It was held in Nashville. Don, that was a gorgeous facility. Now, it's the first time I've been there. You've been there before. That's impressive, isn't it? Gaylord Opryland Convention Center and Hotel.
Well, it's a huge facility, that's for sure. And all of the, of course, all the rooms are inside. And then in the middle of this facility is a complete, you know, garden area with water at, you know.
Well, they got a whole canal, quarter mile of canal, tropical plant. In fact, I saw some trees and plants I've never seen in my life down there. Mm-hmm. And at a gorgeous place, they've got they can have 3 or 4 conventions going simultaneously in there. And of course, there's an island out there, that Delta Island, I guess they call it, with restaurants and gift shops and whatnot, walkways all through this tropical forest. It was an impressive place, and of course, it was 20 degrees in Nashville outside, but it felt like South Florida. Inside, and it was a nice experience. What gorgeous rooms, a great facility, and this National Religious Broadcasters Convention is a big show, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's not only do a lot of broadcasters and people in the industry, both radio and television and internet, come from the United States, but they actually come from all over the world. And so you'll see a lot of international folks there as well. One of the big events for the internationals, of course, is the international reception that they have, mm-hmm. usually on the last or the second to last night. Mm-hmm. And so you can go and interface with folks from around the world.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who figured I was just off having a good time, I mean, this is a working convention. It went from 8, 9 in the morning to 8, 9, even 10 at night, sessions and educational sessions. And, of course, people organize or arrange appointments with people they want to meet, meetings all day. And then there's the exhibition hall, too, where vendors in Christian media get together. And in this being my first time, now you've been there several times, Don. I was impressed with the number of non-radio Christian enterprises that were represented there, and a whole bunch of internet and international and movie and film people too. In fact, I think the balance of Christian media is moving toward movies and film, and a lot of that is because of how easy it is to post video, whether it's on YouTube or your own website or to put a network together of Christian resources and provide that on computer screens all around the world at the same time. You mentioned the international factor, and you were there representing Sharing International. Tell us what they do.
Well, it's we're a small organization, and it's help basically what Sharing does is bring Christian broadcasters together who have experience and go to international countries and teach the locals how to put a radio station together, or a television station, or an internet radio, for example, how to do it. Everything from engineering to programming to news, how do you raise funds, you know, how do you get sustainable, if you will. Mm-hmm. Chuck Pollock, who's the president and founder of the organization, he and other folks have gone to various places around the world. He actually is in Albania as we speak this week. He teaches broadcasting at a college, but they're off on spring break, so he took the opportunity to help the folks in Albania. There'll be several people from several different small radio stations in Albania trying to get more educated in the broadcast area. So he's over there as we speak, starting his 3-4 day seminar. And he usually goes with someone else, and they kind of trade off the training, but let me take an example. In Belize, for example, there are probably 13, 14 radio stations now. Sharing International has trained the staff of probably about 12 to 13 of those. So very big part in Belize, and has done some work with Vision Africa, for example, in helping to train some radio stations in Africa. And various parts of the world. Now, I haven't gone to Asia yet, but we've had some inquiries of folks from Asia to say, "Hey, can you help come train us?" So it seems like that activity has been picking up over the years. Sharing International's had a booth in the exhibit area, probably for 9 or 10 years now. Graciously given by the NRB, otherwise we wouldn't have been we wouldn't be able to afford a booth. But I've seen Andrea and I don't go every year, but we've been a couple of years ago. Then we went last year. This past year we've had more activity, it seems, at the booth, more people coming by, more opportunities for training. So anyone who is in the broadcast field and who has a desire, for example, to train others in their field should really contact Sharing International. You can find us on the internet, of course, Sharing International, SharingMinistriesInternational.org or SharingOnline.org, and you can sign up to be one of the trainers, and Chuck will give you a call and see if he can put together an opportunity.
Well, there's a contrast in my mind here, and maybe you can comment on this, because my impression is in talking to the folks at Sharing International and Transworld Radio and others who are involved in Christian radio internationally and Christian websites internationally and provide platforms for Christian ministries all around the world to reach people, there's a lot of excitement and a lot of activity internationally in Africa and in the Middle East. We ran into people from Syria and Iran there, or rather Iraq, from Turkey. A lot of stuff going on internationally, but I somehow get the feeling that within the United States that it's kind of static, that the interest seems to be, well, evangelistic, I suppose. I guess that's good, but the point is there are people all around the world in diverse regions who are anxious to get Christian material, Christian content on the air for their people. And here it just seems resting in place. Same old stuff. What do you think?
Well, I think there's probably some truth to that, because if a new country, for example, that is just starting Christian radio or television, but primarily radio in a lot of these places, they haven't heard the gospel like we've heard the gospel. They haven't had the Christian pastor teachings like we have. I mean, you can pretty much get that on a lot of different channels in a lot of different places here in the United States. But if it's new, I think you've got an opportunity to reach more people. After you've been doing it for, I don't know how long Christian radio's been, or media has been in this country, but let's say it's been 40, 50 years or so. After you've been doing it for a while, I think people, are just tuning in to a lot of the Christian stations just to listen to music. And while they may get some interdispersion of the gospel message, it's a lot of it is not the content that it probably once was when Christian media was first starting off.
And of course, in this country, and represented at NRB, were lots of radio stations that do nothing but Christian talk and teaching all day long. And it strikes me that that's kind of akin to a Pandora or some of the other services that play music from a playlist. In other words, there's no live involvement or precious little. To me, one of the beauties of radio is being live and being a part of people's lives at the moment, and being spontaneous and being yourself on the air. But when you listen to all pre-recorded stuff, it is also packaged that, to me, it becomes very quickly very boring.
Well, that certainly certainly could be the case. Not all of the talk radio, of course. We do have talk Christian radio, there is conservative Christian radio, and I mean conservative radio, and there's, you know, liberal radio, and those tend to be more interactive if it's a live program, for example, or even if they're replaying a live program, at least you've got some interaction with the audience, because a lot of these folks will have call-ins, and people, they'll have guests on their show, and people
there are some,
call in.
Yes,
and,
yes.
But I would agree with you. There are a lot of canned packages out there, and not to say, you know, that's not touching people's lives, because I'm sure if, for example, when I first became a Christian, one of the programs I really enjoyed listening to, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to it even today, is J. Vernon McGee. And, you know, of course, he's no longer with us, but I remember a story of one listener who I think called into the show one time, and she was surprised that J. Vernon McGee was no longer, you know, with us. She thought that he was still alive, and so it was an interesting.
I've worked for a couple of Christian radio stations whose policy was to once a broadcaster dies, you don't run his programs anymore, which I thought made a whole lot of sense, you know. But there
well,
are those.
I think they're just still running J. Vernon's programs.
Yep, he's still on there.
He was a teacher. I mean, there are some really good Christian teachers out there, and he was a teacher, and it didn't matter, if it was a live program or a pre-recorded program, even a program that is, you know, 10, 20 years, you know, out of date. If you're talking about the Bible and you're giving content, historical content to the Bible, as J. Vernon McGee did, for a young Christian, that information is very, very valuable. A lot of Christian programming today is the pastor's sermon on Sunday, and while some folks may find that exciting and interesting to listen to, I personally don't. I mean, a sermon on Sunday is as you say, more interactive, if you will. I mean, the pastor is, of course, emphasizing certain things for his particular conversation. And when you're trying to broadcast that nationwide or even internationally, it probably loses something.
Well, see, a lot of that has to do with the basic nature of radio, too. Radio is one-on-one, companionable, personal relationships between a broadcaster and the listeners. If it's a recorded sermon, this pastor is talking to 10, 50, 100, 600, 1,000 people in an auditorium someplace, not to you at, you know, beside your radio. And you can tell that. And it's kind of like watching TV. The relationship isn't there. Now, you mentioned broadcasting sermons. If you go back, and how old Christian broadcasting is, if you go back to the early 1920s, 1922, 23, when the very first commercial stations came on the air, some of the first things they did were church sermons. Now, in part because it was a new industry, and they had to find content. They turned to sports, they turned to political campaigns, and to elections, and to church sermons. And this was before there was a whole lot of recorded music around, so music hadn't even been put on the radio yet. So people were looking for content, but as it developed, Christian content stayed with it. And once you get to the late 60s, early 70s, and Calvary Chapel on the West Coast, that's Pastor Chuck Smith and his ilk of musicians and bands, and kind of taking the contemporary rock sound and putting in Christian thought and lyrics, he got it on the radio. And so really, if you go back to the 70s, that's when Christian radio as we know it today was really born, early to mid-70s, and it has developed since then. And it's still around, and that's an awfully good thing, but I'd like to be able to say I have the sense that it's prospering around the country. I didn't get that feel. What do you think?
Well, it, certainly this NRB had a different flavor to it than the ones I've been to in the past. It was almost like it was a more sobering type of environment than maybe in the past. And I think part of that is what's happened, probably what's happening, you know, politically, not only in this country, but also, you know, internationally. And so, for example, one of the all-day sessions was, and NRB was, the topic of the session was the challenges of Islam. And I think that's on a lot of people's minds, and folks are probably getting the idea that, hey, we probably need to change some things, and there's a sense of urgency to reach more people, because I think what we see in our country is that perhaps we're losing we're losing this battle, you know, to the enemy, and maybe one of the first things we need to do is understand who that is. And then come up with strategies to maybe, you know, attract more people into the into Christianity.
Now that was, it was kind of a shadow through the whole convention, because there were so many sessions on Islam, and from some very knowledgeable people. I mean, listening to these people scared the pants off you, for one thing. But also, I detected, generally speaking, and I can't speak for NRB, of course, but the feeling that seemed to permeate the convention was, we're unhappy with the political process here in dealing with that. And we as Christians are required, it's incumbent upon us to take some sort of action to help those people. And in fact, we did here. I remember the session that you and I sat in on around that video, Sing a Little Louder. Speaking for that organization that produced the video, and I won't go into details of the video other than to say, go see it, look it up on the internet, Sing a Little Louder. I think it's a .com, could be a .org. And we'll have more news for regarding that for you later. In fact, Juliana may be on the air with us here in a week or two, but this young lady from an Assyrian, which is northern Syria. And she was there speaking on behalf of the ministry, which was in essence an anti-abortion ministry, but got involved with saving lives in many different respects. She got involved with this video. And being from Syria, during that week, ISIS was in combat there and actually captured, kidnapped many of her family members. Held some for ransom and some simply disappeared. And so she, you know, talk about an immediate connection with what's going on. That was a very moving afternoon for us. And she explained her dilemma and her stress and her concerns and her worries while supporting this video. So there was a very real, a tangible presence of the conflict in Syria and Iraq present in the conference. And it kind of cast a shadow over the whole thing, wouldn't you say?
Well, very much so, and I think that was that particular small session that we went to, and was, as you said, it was disturbing from the point of view, and it was eye opening from the point of view as to what is the Christian response here in Syria, and of course in Iran and in Iraq. We've got Christians being brutally not only persecuted but killed. And what is our response to that? I mean, what as a, you know, Christian people, what are we supposed to do? Now, she was offering at least one possible way that we could get involved. That is to of course, help fund her organization, which provides food and clothing and other, needed supplies for the refugees, Christian refugees that have been fleeing the countries.
I asked her a specific question during that session, because she said, we need to help these people now, and this is how you do it, send money. But my question was, well, who was there on the ground to implement this assistance? Who's there to give people clothing and food, and who would risk their necks to be there? And she did describe two organizations. One was, a small Assyrian Christian group that was there distributing food and resources. And she also mentioned a group of nuns who had themselves been dispossessed, their church burned to the ground, and they were made homeless, but they worked together to provide some sort of comfort and relief for not only Christians, but everybody in that area. And there was another, and maybe you can elaborate on this. This was something I didn't know. She indicated that there were Christian fighters being trained there as well. Now, she didn't want to elaborate on that. But there's just a whole lot going on there that we're not aware of here.
Well, and I think that's probably right. And I think one of the things that, the Christian media can do in this country is to actually get on-the-ground reports from those areas and make people more aware. Mm-hmm. Even if you just take a 30-second or a minute report and you interject it into your list of music playing to make people aware and to bring to the American people. You know, we've gotten into this lull of, we're okay over here, so I'm assuming that the whole world is okay. Okay. And that is obviously not the case. And thanks to, the YouTube and some of the videos that have been available, publicly mm-hmm. here over the internet, we're getting some information and horrific, scenes that of beheadings and burnings and stuff like that. But I think it's keeping it in the minds of people, because what is happening over there is can easily happen over here at some point in time.
You can.
And so while it may be thousands and thousands of miles away and seem like it's not relevant to us in particular, it is very much relevant to us. And if nothing else, we in this nation need to be praying as Christians for these folks and for the persecuted church. I know that we've done that in the past, and I know that our church has done that in the past, mm-hmm. but we need to keep that in our minds and continually pray for those folks, help out where we can. I'm not necessarily advocating that people would join the militia over there, maybe help with the support groups that are over there mm-hmm. in friendly parts of the world. And one of the friendliest parts of the world for us is Israel. We could probably do a lot of things out of Israel to help those in the surrounding Arab nations. More than we would think, and so maybe doing some things like that would be of value.
And I'd love to hear from anybody listening out there, if you know of private organizations in particular working within Israel to help people in the surrounding areas, maybe reinforcing the efforts of the Jordanians, or maybe working actually in Syria, that is non-governmental organizations, because our own government apparently has decided to take a back seat in that area. Now, I'm looking on the website of Sing a Little Louder. There's singloudermovie.com. There's also a Facebook page for Sing a Little Louder. And what I'd like to suggest is you take a look at this video. Now, it's a preliminary form because they're modifying it based on recent developments and some new film clips they're adding to it. It's an 8-minute video, and it needs to be seen in churches everywhere, and it will be a stunner. Dr. Don and I watched it there, and we're stunned is the word. It leaves you thinking and wanting to help. Sing a Little Louder is a Facebook page. You can go on facebook.com, just search for Sing a Little Louder, and a lot of folks talking about that video. And if you can get it in your church at the beginning of a Sunday service, talk about food for thought, it will be there. We're talking with Dr. Don Clark this morning about Christian media in general, and in particular the National Religious Broadcasters Convention held in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. Don, what was the high point of that convention for you? What was the big deal for you at that convention?
Well, I think for me and my wife personally was that movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, that session in particular was an eye opener, mm-hmm. As you said. I mean, you watch this 8-minute video, and it, you were speechless. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, speechless afterwards and saying, wow, you know, this is, this really brings the problem of Christian persecution. I mean, really home, and it makes you think. The main question that came out of that is, what are you going to do about it? You know, what are you going to do about it? So that for me, I mean, while it, I wouldn't necessarily call it a highlight, but it was the main main thing that, you know, I took away really from the convention. And the it also wrapped in with the first day's all-day session, which we, my wife and I, Andre and I, spent a lot of time with, which was the challenges of Islam. And I think we've been duped in this country to think that, you know, that is not a threat to us. I think it most certainly is a threat to us.
Interesting, interesting time. It was a week well spent in Nashville, and in terms of this radio station, Broken Road Radio, they made a lot of contacts and a lot of friends, and had conversations with people who were very encouraging as to, what we're doing here. And I think it's clear that we have a product here that is not easily found elsewhere. And we're looking to be heard by more people and in more. And now, yeah, we're internet, so you can say, well, we're global. We are, and we do have listeners internationally, Philippines and Belize, and people have listened from China and Hungary and Africa and Germany and England, Canada, as well as across the U.S. But I'm thinking that you know, our audience tends to be mature adults, and that's because of the nature of the music in part, but also it's just because of the style of broadcast we do. Now, we're only live mornings, 7 to 10 weekdays. I would love to be live all the time, but to do that, we have to grow the business and find people that can can build on what it is we want to do here and do it in the same style and fashion and know how to talk to mature adults. So that was my mission at NRB, was to find people who can understand that appeal and help us amplify the message that we have here. So we'll continue to do that and make connections, and you'll be hearing some new content, some short programs coming on, and hopefully hearing us on many more radio stations around the country as time goes by. And as we can grow and develop, you'll hear more live broadcasts, because I think that's really where we need to be. It's radio like it used to be. It's radio for grown-ups. That's what we call ourselves. And I don't mean to offer a slap at other radio stations, but I'm just saying that radio stations that cater now to mature listeners are few and far between, and that's why we're here.
One of the things that I found interesting that, you know, I wasn't at the convention. The I had to stay here in East Dakota to make sure the transmitter was still humming.
Hold the fort, yeah.
I had to keep my finger on the pulse. one of the things that I find interesting today about the conversation, and also what we've talked about earlier, and things that I see online about the rise and fall of Christianity in the United States, and you know, that general topic. I guess I wonder, you know, was Christian broadcasting ever a large force? Was there a beginning, and has it grown since then? Where is it at now? And it doesn't. One of the things that I was struck with was you mentioned a statistic that out of evangelical Christians, 27% listen to Christian radio, and that seems like an appallingly low number. I mean, I can't imagine anybody taking any other demographic group and saying, okay, we've got 100,000 Republicans in Minnesota, but only 4 of them listen to Republican radio.
Now, this was a Lifeway survey done by Ed Stetzer and presented to the convention, and actually what it said is 27% of people who go to church regularly, 27% listen to Christian radio often or frequently. 27%, 33% of evangelicals, self-professed evangelicals, listen to Christian radio frequently, which suggests to me there's a whole lot of them that don't, and I'm wondering why.
Yeah, I'm wondering why, too. The other thing I'm wondering, too, is that, you know, radio in general has began as a broadcasting, broad meaning, you know, there was only, you know, a limited number of outlets in the beginning, and so the... So the programming was somewhat homogenized, somewhat similar, somewhat alike. and those outliers, those people that were broadcasting something different, the Radio Pacifica in California, and the programming that wasn't necessarily aimed at the mainstream, didn't necessarily grow and prosper, but just kind of, if they held on for long enough, then they stuck it out, but otherwise they kind of withered and died.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 20 years, there's all kinds of growth in different kinds of broadcasting. And with FM and AM stereo and the technology and now the internet and all the rest of that, is there similar growth in Christian broadcasting? Or is Christian broadcasting a force that you can recognize when you say, and when you would say broadcasting generally, you can kind of imagine people and faces and sounds and those kinds of things. And there seems to be a growth in broadcasting generally, a change for sure, because it's no longer, it's more and more expensive to run a terrestrial radio station, but there are other alternatives. Are there changes in Christian broadcasting as well, and is there growth? And it doesn't seem like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that there's a lot of growth happening. And that is in the audience or in new broadcasters going into Christian radio. At some point, the old generation has to give way and new folks come in. But I think what I'm seeing is mainly music. And it's mainly a mood, a safe place to listen. Your kids won't be offended. They can listen to that steady flow of music. But as Dr. Don mentioned earlier, there's not always, you can't teach with music, not to any great degree, but you can attract an audience. But who they're attracting are Christians. And I don't know of a Christian radio station that where the word evangelism doesn't appear somewhere in their mission statement. But my own opinion is that most of them speak almost exclusively to the church. And there are not a lot of non-Christians listening. It happens now and then. And there's some wonderful stories of conversions and people who come to believe and then catch fire and then want to learn. But I'm not sure that Christian radio is doing a whole lot to reach beyond the perimeter of the church as it exists today. Don, your thoughts?
Well, I think that's certainly true. And when you were asking about why aren't all Christians listening to Christian radio? And I think it's because the content is not necessarily targeting what they're interested in. It'd be an interesting survey, and maybe perhaps it's already been done, but statistics to look at how many Christians are listening to conservative radio.
Mm-hmm.
For example, as opposed to the more narrow, just Christian radio, because I think a lot of people are maybe shifting over to listening to conservative radio because there's more content. Mm-hmm. There's more up-to-the-minute information about, here's what's happening in not only the world, but in our particular country.
Well, see, good radio keeps you in touch with what's happening in your community and your world all at the same time. That's where radio made its reputation, and I think it's drifting away from that now. And there may be a lot of business reasons for that, but a lot of it is lack of innovative content. Now, all this new media, the internet and internet broadcasting, I don't know if you can call it broadcasting, we refer to it because that's the only word, the internet casting, you could reach all around the world at one time, but it's now so hard to be local if you're an internet radio station because we have listeners, we do a morning show from 7 to 10, but many of the listeners, it's not morning there where they are. So we have kind of an old radio philosophy going on the internet, and it's kind of fun, but I'm not sure it works for everybody. Just concerned that Christian radio is internalized so much that the same folks on the same stations on so many stations at the same time of day that we've lost a sense of variety, and that means we've lost contact. Now, there's a Christian radio station that I used to work for here that brought me in to help regain an audience they were losing, which was the older listeners. The older listeners were not reacting well to the new contemporary music they had chosen to play and were drifting off, one, to a local FM station who catered to mature listeners, and the rest to Minnesota Public Radio, which is a super broadcast job. I mean, they wanted to be in touch. They wanted information. And they were leaving Christian radio for that reason. So it seems to me the main appeal should be, as in traditional radio, by age groups, and then let them choose the content within that. But, I mean, there still need to be radio stations looking to reach mature adults, and that's where we hope to play a role. By the way, I've invited comments on our discussion on our chat window today, and the first comment we got was a reference to Revelations chapter 21 and 22. That's got an issue from our talking of Islam and looking at how world events are happening here. And I think a lot of us are thinking that very thing. We're looking at the end times here. Don, your thoughts?
Well, I think we certainly are. Now, how close we are to Jesus' return, I mean, that's a whole nother subject. but it seems like with the one of the things, of course, I do creation teaching, and one of the things that that we talk about, we cover the fall, we cover the global flood, obviously. And Jesus himself said when when the disciples asked, when are you coming back, one of his responses was, well, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of this of the Son of God, second coming, when his second coming will be. So you ask the question, well, how was it in the days of Noah? And one of the things you find out is that the thoughts of man were continuously evil. And we could certainly say that we are approaching that in some people. Now, obviously, it's not in all the peoples of the world, but we are seeing some people whose, for whatever reason, that you would say that is really evil, and even if they don't see themselves in that light, the enemy has fooled them in such a way that their acts are extremely evil, and we haven't seen that degree certainly in the most recent past. There have been times in history where things have been pretty bad. So I think the Lord is gracious, and he wishes everyone to come to know him, and he's going to give us, that is the human race, enough time for us to repent and come to know him. But it does seem like things are accelerating.
It's interesting here, that you bring up the word evil, because even that word, I think, has been compromised in our minds and in our spirits. Because when situational ethics tends to be dominant, that is, evil is relative, good is relative. One man's a terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. You tend to lose sight of the real difference between good and evil. And there's comic book evil and there's real evil, and we're dealing with real evil here, folks. And just feeling the impact of that word evil, knowing that it exists and it's waiting for you out there, is an eye opener. I mean, we need to come to grips with that it's not comic book evil here. There is honest to goodness evil. Honest to goodness, there's an odd term. I think I'll take that back and just say evil is a real thing. And we're dealing with it here. And hopefully the forces of light and good can cope with this. But God's still in charge, and I always take comfort with that. He's still on the throne, and he manages the nations, and he's bringing about what he will bring about. And we can't stop it. But we can help it. And for Christians to take a look at how they can help in the world, how they can bring some comfort and some relief to the suffering over there in particular, something we ought to do. And I want to recommend again to people that short video. Take a look at it, and if you have contacts in your church, get it in front of the congregation. And an eight-minute video, Sing a Little Louder, it's called. You can find it on Facebook. There's also a couple of websites regarding it. It's a coming thing. It's just about in its final form and ready. Been talking with Dr. Don Clark, who is with Creation Moments. Don will join us again tomorrow when we get back into our normal groove here of science and faith and evolution and that sort of thing. We'll be talking about a very old jawbone tomorrow. Don, we'll look forward to that, and thank you very much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and it's been fun as usual.
Well, yeah, I feel like a conversation should go on for another hour. So.
Yeah, it feels like it. Yeah, it does. Well, we can go on and on and on. Music now from Gordon Moat at the piano. Don, take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, very good.